punk and the schooner, no one is punk.
Yes, indeed. Show number 23 of Noise Punk and Dust Crooner. I am Dust Crooner. Gene, who in God's name are you?
Yo, I'm Noise Punk. Yo, this is show number 23. And today we have a very special
guest.
As we usually have to say. We have to say, you know, since we've always been saying it, we can't stop.
If someone else comes in and we don't say it,
then they're not. Yeah, so we just have to say special.
Then we have to talk to some lawyers. You know.
Yeah, lawyers are going to. Anyway, today's guest is a composer. Actually, we didn't ask her what other instrument she plays. Usually composer slash, but we'll talk about it. Her name is Judith
Shayton, welcome to our program.
Welcome to our program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Awesome. And you are the second Judith on our program.
Well, that's good because I'm about to have a choral piece done on the Judith Project with four Judiths.
It was four. I was telling Charles about this and I thought it was three because Jeffrey James was telling me about that. We'll talk about that. That sounds really fun.
Talk about this.
Okay, it's Judiths Bingham, Shayton, Weir, and Zaymont. And it's
That's what we had.
With Cantori, New York, over at the Church of the Holy Trinity on East 88th Street. So come on over.
That's November 3rd, you said, right?
11-3, Saturday night, 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Be there.
There you go.
But
if it's 2009,
you go,
then I guess odds are
it's
not
going to
happen.
Come there in the future. Hello? Sorry. That's not. Okay. But before you come to this concert, you probably want to see, well, what if I don't like Judith's music? How do I know? So this is a good show to listen to because Judith will play some music. Charles, first, though, has to ask you a very important question.
Yes. Okay. Thanks. Hello. What got you started? What made you want to become a composer? Obvious question.
Well, okay, I have a few answers to that. We had an old piano, and I loved the sound, and so I started into music that way. And back in the day when I was a child, we actually had terrific music in school, so I was in special chorus, played the flute, played the piano. And I guess that's what really sort of started me thinking about creating my own music, and I think I was a blend of masochistic and ignorant, because I didn't realize at that early juncture that being a composer would mean living between the museum culture we have on one side and the pop industrial complex on the other.
That is absolutely perfect.
That is a good one. That was a good one.
I'm stunned. I'm shocked. It's perfect.
I don't have to tell you it's easy to shock and stun Charles.
I guess so.
Yeah. What are you trying to say?
But that was a good answer, and I think... I guess we'll talk about that more because you really divided it up. The museum culture, the middle, where I guess you feel like you are.
Whatever is.
Whatever it is, and then the pop culture. Because for me, you know, it's all one big culture. Though the museum, I will agree, there is a museum which just doesn't let anything else
actually,
in.
Actually, I want to disagree with you already, though, because I'm not at all interested in making distinctions between high and low. I think that's total bullshit. But
great.
I am interested in making something about the kind of distribution, who owns them, and how it happens. And that's why I say pop industrial complex. And that, for the most part, is not how composers of whatever we want to call our music, the in-between stuff, lives.
Right. No. I agree with you. I mean, that's
ambiguous at best.
No, you're talking more about the whole, I guess, business of it,
exactly.
And how, yeah, not actually
exactly.
The music of it, and that's good. I do also agree because there is definitely little mafia cliques and, you know, or whatever, in all kinds of places where you can't get in, and, you know, maybe you don't have to.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't want to. Maybe we need to change it. And let's change it first right now with some music. What are you going
to
play for us?
What would you like to play for us?
All right, I am going to play for you. That inspired me to play for you. You from Mount Nebo, which is a piano trio. Inspired from Mount Nebo, which is the mountaintop from which Moses looks out to the promised land, which he will never reach. And I think that also speaks to our time, not only in Martin Luther King's speech, but just in having ideals that we strive for and don't necessarily get to.
Yeah. Good segue.
Yeah, promises we don't keep.
Charles, why don't you announce? Do something professional for a second.
Anyway, which track is it?
This is tracks 8, 9, 10.
Oh, yeah, this is View from Mount Nebo by our guest, Judith Shayton, here on Noise Punk and Das Kooner. Thank you. View from Mount Nebo by our guest, Judith Shayton, here on Noise Punk and Dust Crooner. That was members of the Da Capo Chamber Players.
Yeah, rocking that.
Great piece involving, it's funny, there's a great harmonic ambiguity, except for the fact that the note D is the one that's stressed out at key moments as things develop. It's funny, obviously you take that into account, no matter how abstract or how conservative or whatever, you like a note that sticks out no matter at key moments throughout. I mean, I find that interesting. It sounded good, and I found that a very interesting. What are you doing, man?
Start giving you background music.
Giving you background.
I don't know where you go.
Anyway, I found that very effective.
Thanks. Yeah, I think that maybe one way to describe what I try to do, both in terms of pitches and rhythmic shaping, is to do sort of embodied, experiential. Experiential in the sense that one physically experiences it, and I think if you have some kind of referential sonorities around which you can work whatever magic you are going to work, that it's very helpful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because the one thing I think you and I have in common musically is that no matter how crazy or how conservative we are, there has to be some element that works as an anchor that everything else can revolve around, and I felt that there was something like that in that piece. I mean, do you,
Charles,
am I closer?
You're my anchor.
Dude. you're my thrill. Thank you. Thank you, Gene.
Sorry, a little gay moment. A nice fucking
I needed that.
Sorry, you were asking a question. I interrupted you. I got bored of your question.
Is that, part of this may be a dumb question, are you conscious of that, that you need some kind of element in which the rest of the material can revolve around, or...
I don't know that I think about it in those terms, but I typically like to work with rhythmic shapes that one can feel in one's body so that there's a physicality about it. And the other thing is, it's not just about a pitch sticking out, but figuring out some timbral pitch combination, because I long ago stopped thinking about octave equivalents, for instance, because it's really about how does it feel, what's the timbre in a particular register. That may come partially from all the work I've done with electronic music, that there's that sort of sensitivity to it.
The sound becomes more important than the actual pitches or pitch relationship.
To me, it's both. I really feel like...
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not interested, as I know a lot of composers are, on sort of separating out these elements and then operating them on separate tracks.
They should all work together as a...
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Unlike you, Charles, who only thinks about D.
Well, during at that point. Thank you.
There's your D.
Or otherwise known as in the Baroque E flat. But anyway.
Why this? Wow. Oh, okay.
Never mind. Thanks a lot, Gene.
You're my anchor, Charles.
What would you like to play for us next?
Oh, let's do something big. Do something huge.
All right. I think what we're going to hear is the third movement of my piano concerto, which is called The Passion of St. Cecilia. And I love the fact that actually there is no connection between music and St. Cecilia. And this is the connection that exists is based on a mistranslation in the 15th century. But in any case, I like the original story of St. Cecilia. And so I created this piano concerto, which is played by a marvelous pianist named Gail Martin Henry. And we're going to hear just the third movement, which is titled Cruel and Aggressive.
Now, I see a lot of... hear a lot of references of religious. Moses.
Are
you a religious person?
Yes.
That's an interesting question. Although I'm Jewish and I certainly identify that way, but I'm inspired by all kinds of things. So the piece I'm having performed tonight, called For the Birds, it's both an homage to the birds from Yellowstone that the commissioner, Madeline Shapiro, loves, and it is also a reference to John Cage's book of the same name, and also just a function of my love for working with animal sounds. So I like to range over all kinds of different things.
I like working with animal sounds, too. That's why Charles Coleman is my partner here on this show.
Because
he's an animal.
Dump! Bad timing! What is it? That's a helicopter, that, you that, moron.
That's a helicopter.
You guys are having too much fun.
We don't even have alcohol. Isn't that sad? But anyway.
You don't.
Maybe you're like Salvador Dali, who said, I don't do drugs, I am drugs.
Exactly.
Ooh, I love that.
I like to sniff myself. Okay, never mind. Charles, why don't you announce something?
This is the last movement, correct? Last movement of The Passion of St. Cecilia, a piano concerto featuring Gail Martin Henry, the pianist, along with, I believe, the...
Moravian Philharmonic.
Joel Zubin.
Charles, reading is fundamental.
Here on Noise, Punk, and Das Kroner. Thank you. Indeed. The latter movement, the third and final movement of The Passion of St. Cecilia by our guest Judith Shaton. That movement, a very appropriately entitled Cruel Aggressive.
Just like Charles's.
Yeah. That was pianist Gail Martin Henry, along with the Moravian Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Joel Zubin. Zubin?
I believe it's Zubin.
There you go. Here on Noise, Punk, and Dust Crooner.
Charles, are you aggressive and wild?
Next question.
Anyway. I beat you to it. You're going to call me that. But
yeah, I was. Yeah, shoot. Ah. Damn. Yeah. While we were listening to this, I told him that he's just like you, that you're cruel and aggressive.
Nobody's wondering.
Okay, thank you, Gene.
So, we have some crazy music here by is it all written out or is it clustery stuff? Like where the piano goes up. I mean, it sounded like clusters.
There's
but,
some of both, but yeah. At the very end there, yeah, it's guided improv.
Yeah, very hip, very hip. Cool. No, it definitely worked, so.
Yeah.
Just asking. I think let's move on. Let's keep moving. Let's move and don't stop.
Yeah. What do you have for us now?
Well, I think actually maybe what I will play for you, since we're sort of on the dark side of things, is a piece called Werther for Piero Ensemble and a recording by Da Capo Chamber Players, and it was inspired by Goethe's story of Werther, who I have to say I no longer have as much patience with as I did then. But in
oh, really?
Case,
which story? Which story?
The novel, The Sorrows of Young Werther.
Oh, Young
Werther.
That started a suicide craze across Europe. And
that was one of my favorite novels. That's my favorite novels of his, for sure.
It became great. A famous opera by Massenet.
Massenet did an opera?
Yeah. So anyhow, this is a kind of tome poem inspired by that, not in an extremely obvious way. And it starts with what I think of as really sort of piercing cry into the void. It's all about his sort of angst and difficulties in getting life to move in the right direction, and about his relationship with Lotte, which doesn't work out. And so this is uses Piero Ensemble, and I think that again you'll find certain characteristic ways that I've dealt with, especially thinking about registral space in this. So you'll notice that when it opens, it's really very wide apart, and I also have some timbral explorations going on. You'll hear.
Yeah.
I think I might have written a piece in that, because I used to love that book. I must have been inspired. I'm pretty sure I wrote a fun polka. The guy, he wants to kill... It's terrible. I don't know. I didn't. I'm joking. But it's a great... If you haven't read the book, go read the book. Now. We'll wait.
This is Werther, not to be confused with the opera Werther by Massenet.
I don't think anyone's going to have a big problem distinguishing between the two.
Yeah, I think I hear the phone calls and letters coming in already.
Yeah, yeah. This deals with basically a poet who basically is... complaining all the time, ultimately kills himself.
Well, there's
more to it than that.
There's a lot more to it.
Gosh, Charles, did you...
You guys got issues.
Would you just get like one of those Cliff Note things and read the big half of those?
That's me. I read the...
it's a very romantic book. It's actually... I thought it was like what...
It's the first novel of romanticism.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was like, you know, like expressionist almost, actually.
Pretty much, right?
And I... Charles, just announce it. Stop talking over
Werther.
Here.
Let me give you a sound effect.
That's how you die.
Are you done yet?
It's a car crash.
Oh, great. All right, I need the publicity.
Okay, good.
Werther by our guest Judith Shaton, featuring members of the Da Capo Chamber Players here on Noise, Punk, and Dust.
That's Gruner.
Thank you.
Werther by our guest Judith Shayton here on Noise Punk and Das Kuna. That was members of the Da Capo Chamber Players.
That was the whole Da Capo Chamber Players, probably.
Was
right?
It?
It was all Da Capo Chamber Players.
Boy, I'm doing good. I tend to make a lot of mistakes, don't I? Thank you, Gene.
We shot him. Now the show's called Noise Punk.
Yeah. Well, we were talking during this performance. We were talking about what were we talking? We were talking about the issue of.
You don't know what we're talking about. Don't tell him, Judith. Let's see if you can remember.
What would you like to hear next?
That's the brain police coming to take Charles's brain away.
Who are the brain police? Brain
anyway. Now I want to know what we're talking about. Now you were saying about changing music.
Yes.
That you have written when you were younger. Is that what you're trying to remember?
No, we're talking about revising.
Revising. Well, changing.
Some of us seem to think that one should never do that.
One should never do
that. It's like a diary of one's life. But others of us, that is myself, think that if you, either from performances or just the passage of time, you get certain ideas that you think make it into a piece that represents the idea better, as my very long ago composition teacher, Hal Overton, once said, you should be interested in getting the piece to the point that you want it. This doesn't mean that I endlessly revise, but it does mean, especially after first performances, I may very well go back and revise.
Well, you see, but this is all those points exactly what I disagree with, is that you got the piece to the point that you wanted at one point. Now, you change. And, of course, every piece is going to be, you're going to want it to a different point because you're in a different place. So, for me, I would write a new piece to express that point. Well, the piece, I'm not like, saying you're 100% wrong, just disagreeing in, you know, the way I would do things. I'm not saying you're doing it wrong, so no fighting. Please put away the gun. Oh, she got really mad at it. I can't believe it. No.
Think about it.
Yeah, you know.
So, so basically, because, no, when I look at old pieces and there's something that I think could be better, for me, it's like, this is where I was, this is what I did, and it's kind of important to...
This is more about at the time of working on the piece. I don't typically go back like 10 years
yeah,
later.
Yeah, I'm talking about long.
What's also interesting is that some pieces sort of grab you and won't let hold mm-hmm. of you until, you know, they may take a long time to get into the shape that you want them.
I have changed pieces that I have just written, and they were just performed, and there's something right there, because I'm still there. I'm still the same person right. within a couple of months. But I'm more talking about, like, really going back. Like, the reason we started this conversation, Charles said he has, like, 70 pieces, and the first 50 of them he doesn't like. And we're saying...
I shouldn't say that. I said that there are flaws in each of those 50 pieces.
But we are flawed.
Yeah,
embrace right. the flaws. Do you know this? That Bach always made a mistake in a purpose in every piece. This is from what I heard. I haven't really looked at that. There's always a mistake in counterpoint. You know, just from the rules that he basically invented on purpose. And he said somewhere that he can't be perfect because only God is perfect. So he has to be always.
So he has to make a purposeful flaw.
In his pieces.
Never heard that one.
I heard that somewhere.
Well, I heard that he said only God is perfect, but I didn't know he actually made a mistake on purpose.
I read that somewhere, but maybe I wrote it as well.
Oh, okay. Don't mind us. We're just going on.
Sorry.
With this.
We have a guest.
We do have
Charles
a guest
and I.
Here.
I've heard about that in relation to Oriental rugs, the idea of putting a flaw in.
Right. I heard that too, yeah. And as we all know, J.S. Bach was one of the main manufacturers of Oriental rugs in the Baroque. That's a train. Okay, can we hear some more music, Judith? Sorry.
Yes, please.
Oh, boy. Don't mind Charles. He's just... Don't mind me. Put some pants on, Charles.
I don't mind you. Let me
I don't mind
this.
You.
Okay.
I don't mind you.
So we're going to hear... How much time do we have? Maybe one movement from my Akhmatova songs. And this movement is called All is Plundered. And I think that I would like to read the poems if I have.
Please, go ahead.
Do you want some background music? Please, background.
And this is in a translation by Sharon Leiter. All is plundered, betrayed, torn asunder. The wing of black death gleams in flight. All is gnawed by sorrowing hunger. Why, then, have our hearts filled with light? By day, wondrous woods near the city send cherries' sweet breath drifting by. At night, the new galaxies glitter from deep in the clear July sky. and miracles walk near the houses, adrift in their dirt and their stones, that thing we've forever desired that no one has ever known. Mm.
I finally got an effect that works.
Yeah. So, okay. So,
in that case,
this is song number two.
So this is...
And who's singing it?
This is Lucy Shelton with Da Capo Chamber Players.
Right.
And Charles announced it.
Yeah, Lucy, one of the songs from Akhmatova.
Akhmatova. Charles,
songs.
You don't speak the Russian. What's wrong with you?
Italian accent.
This is not Italian. This is Russian. Okay, I killed
featuring
you.
Featuring once again the Da Capo Chamber Players along with great soprano. Shut up, man. Lucy Shelton, the legendary soprano promoting, who's probably premiered many hundreds of works on behalf of great composers like our guest here. Here on
Nice segue, Charles.
Here on Noise Punk.
Give me some applause for that. Oh, sorry, wrong button.
Here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner.
Thank you.
All is Plundered, one of the three Akhmatova songs by our guest Judith Chaitin here on Noise Punk and Das Kuhner. That was once again the Da Capo Chamber Players along with the great soprano Lucy Shelton.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Got a little art song going up in here in Noise Punk and Das Kuhner. Yeah. Yo, what's going on? Get a shout out to my man Akhmatova. My man, wait. my girl Akhmatova. 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 Wait, what was her first name? Anna Akhmatova?
Anna Akhmatova. Akhmatova. Not to nitpick or anything, but I noticed one thing throughout virtually every piece that we've heard of yours, D is the main note that sticks out. Is it not a coincidence? Is it a mere coincidence that you seem to like that
and
note?
And you don't even have a D in your name. No. Oh, yeah, you have one D.
You do have a D. Maybe that's it.
Maybe that's it.
Because her first name, all you have is a D, if you would make the you know, right. note.
Well, this brings up a question. When do you ever look at... I mean, all composers have... certain habits, whether they be harmonic, rhythmic, or whatever.
Charles has a bad habit of writing bad
you
music.
Shut up.
Sorry.
The point being, you know, I don't know whether are you conscious of the habits that you've developed in the years as you write? Do you ever look at that, or is it worth looking at, or not, or what's your take?
Of course it's worth looking at and being conscious and aware of what you're doing, at least I think so. And yes, I am drawn to that particular pitch, and it does sort of loom large in many different kinds of pieces that I've done. But I also, let me tell you about a project that I'm just completing called Rotunda, which is a collaboration with a filmmaker. And it came about because my office at the University of Virginia, where I teach, faces Jefferson's Dome and the Lawn, which is a World Heritage Site. And I was just watching this incredible view and thinking, you know, this would actually make a great film. Hmm. So long story short, we have collected over 300,000 images over the course of a year. And filmmaker Bob Arnold is making the film with those as source material. And I recorded the resonance of the dome room, which was not a D, by the way, and I recorded people talking about the rotunda and sounds in and around it, and nature sounds, and people squeaking by. And those are the source materials for that piece. So that
is
one is very different.
Because Jefferson.
And no. Yeah. And good try. It really, really depends on the piece. In fact, the piece that I'm having performed this evening by Madeline Shapiro on the Ear to the Earth program down at Judson Church is for amplified cello and electronics made from birdsong from the Yellowstone. The naturalist Kelvin Culver was willing to share those with me, and I've processed them quite substantially. So, in fact, one movement called Sapsuckers, which is the woodpeckers, really uses the cello in a very percussive way, and likewise, the processing is all about the percussive nature of those sounds. So it depends on the piece.
Okay. Yeah.
And also, I think that it's actually an interesting issue of what is one's signature and what become ticks. If it's a signature, we think of it as being pretty fine. If it becomes a tick, then we're not so excited about it.
Yeah, like you, Charles, never... writing the same violin lick over and over, and every piece.
No, you're wrong.
I'll show you.
Anyway, I find it interesting. Sometimes I write something, I think, wait a minute, I kind of wrote something like that in the previous piece. Should
same
I keep it there? Does it work? Should I change it? I'm just curious if you ever go through that.
Well, you know, it's so interesting to think of composers like J.S. Bach who crib themselves all over the place. And, you know, I think the issue is developing a voice. And if you've developed a voice, you're going to have some consistency.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the question is just, can you say different things with your tone of voice?
Yeah. See, that sums up right there.
A little knowledge down to you, man, asking stupid questions. I'm sorry, Jim.
Hey.
I don't know what has happened.
Anyway.
I'll shoot him.
Shut the hell up. Let's conclude with, I think, an orchestral work of yours? Or?
Yes, this is a piece called Piping the Earth. It was a co-commission of the Women's Philharmonic and the National Endowment for the Arts. It was premiered by the Women's Phil with Joanne Folletta conducting.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And Piping the Earth, it comes from a wonderful Chinese tradition and a book called the Chuanzi, which talks about how air moving through different places is always wind, but it sounds very different. So Piping the Earth came out of that sense, and I think you'll hear a lot of sort of swirling kinds of sounds from incredibly quiet, the opening is almost inaudible, to things that are
unaudible.
Over-audible.
I can't say audible.
All right.
Okay, that sounds good. Orchestral music of Judas Satan. Charles, do something. Say
Piping
something,
the Earth.
Something better, Charles. Say,
what?
Say it nicer.
Piping the Earth featuring
more, more resonance in the bottom voice.
Piping the Earth.
There you go, Charles. That's nice.
Piping the Earth. Featuring once again the Moravian Philharmonic under Joel Subin here on Noise, Punk, and Dust Crooner. Piping the Earth by our guest Judith Shayton here on Noise Punk and
Dust
Crooner.
Yeah, it was beautiful, man. Great orchestration.
That was totally the Moravian rocking. Philharmonic Orchestra conducted by Joel Zubin, most of which all of we've been hearing here on Noise Punk and Dust Crooner comes from a specific album entitled Piping the Earth on Capstone Records.
But you have how many albums do you have of your music?
I have these two albums of just my music, uh-huh. And then I have on Centaur a couple of pieces, Sea of Reeds for clarinet and effects processor with the clarinet having two polyvinyl chloride tubes sticking out of the bottom, wonderfully uh-huh. recorded by Jerry Arante, and Three Summers Heat for soprano and electronics recorded by Susan Naruki. And the wonderful flutist of Da Capo Chamber Players, Patricia Spencer, has a disc called Narcissus and Kairos, half of which is devoted to my flute music.
Oh, wow, cool.
And you can find out more about this.
Can we find out more about this? On what certain website of yours?
On www.judithshayton.com. And let me just also mention one other recording by Judith Klurman called Divine Grandeur, which is on New World Records. I have a piece called Adonai Ro'i, a Hebrew setting of Psalm 23. And also on New World, I'm Bending the Light, the core ensemble recorded my 1492 for amplified piano and percussion. There's lots of other stuff. Take a look at my site.
Go to the site, check it out, browse around.
What's coming up for you in addition to all that you just mentioned? Gigs, performances, and so forth.
And so forth. Well, Susan Fancher, the fantastic saxophone player, Later this month, we'll be premiering my Penelope song in a version for amplified soprano sax.
That's October 2007.
Electronics made from recordings I made of a woman weaving on wooden looms in a piece called Penelope Song that will be at the Shake It Up Festival in Greensboro, North Carolina. And also in November 2007, the project I mentioned earlier, the Judith Project, I have Songs of War and Peace for poems written by Israeli composers after the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin in translation by wonderful American composers, being programmed by Mark Shapiro in Contori, New York.
Ah, cool. Wonderful.
So if you the show goes up, I don't know, sooner or later, and if you guys can
make Calvos.
These...
I didn't say that. I'm kidding. We love you. We
Charles
love you like
Cole
you're my own
fired.
Sister. But anyway.
Okay. So anyway, Judith, it has been a
it's
pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming on.
Been really fun.
And we enjoyed your music. And oh, here's the theme song.
Yep, there it is. And that'll do it for show number 23 of Noise, Punk, and Dust Crooner. Until next time, noise to you.
Noise, Punk, and Dust Crooner. Noise, Punk. And Dust Crooner. Noise, Punk, and Dust Crooner. No, I'm a punk and the screw.